Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. And there is a word from the Lord to us today from the series we've been teaching on the empowerment of encouragement. And this is part 4, the empowerment of persistence. In fact, put up the title slide with the surfer, if you could, back on the screen. I chose this image. I took this picture in California a couple of years ago. Bring up the keynote, yeah. What's on your bulletin, too? I chose this image because think about now, how many of you have surfed? Anybody surfed before? Any surfers in here? It's not quite in our culture, you know what I'm saying? We've surfed the web, you know. We have a, but think about what it takes to get in position to be a surfer. And that's a beautiful shot there. I mean, he's in a low position. He's balanced. He's handling the wave. But what you did not see was how many times I saw him crash. Saw him, what's the term they use? Wipe out. Yeah, the wipe out. I got a picture of one guy close up when he's wiping out of his close up of his face, and he's totally calm. Wiping out, calm. You better be calm. Wiping out in the ocean. There's no place to panic. But think about the persistence it took to learn how to get up on that surfboard and to not just not fall off, you know, but have the courage to get back on from all the hundreds of times he has certainly fallen off. So it's a good picture of persistence. It's a picture of balance. It's a picture of focus. I also put up a little graphic on my Facebook page and Instagram. A phrase I picked up, I saw it said, clear your mind of doubt. Clear your mind. Clear your mind of the word, I can't. Clear your mind of, I can't. So I would clear my mind of, I cannot, or I can't. Yeah. All right, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do not become weary when you're doing well. You're doing what God wants you to do. Because at the proper time, every seed has its season. Every seed has its season. Every seed you put in the ground doesn't come up when you say it comes up when it's supposed to come up. It's a design to that seed. So persistence defined is this. It means firm continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. The quality that allows someone to continue doing something or trying to do something, even though it is difficult or opposed by other people. So persistence is a word with which we're familiar. But I want to encourage us that persistence isn't only just kind of forging ahead. There's a reason why we can forge ahead. There's a foundation to the strength that we gain to become persistent. But the definition is very obvious and very clear, is to continue in a course of action despite or in spite of difficulty or opposition. And the opposition can come from circumstances, from people, from a lack of resource, any number of things. It doesn't matter because he said, Paul said, don't become weary while doing good. If you're doing good, you shouldn't become weary to the point of saying, you know what? I don't know if I can continue. You shouldn't have that thought in your mind. Again, clear your mind of I can't, I cannot. Clear your mind of that. Because according to the word of God, in proper time, in due season, we shall reap if we do not faint or lose heart. And losing heart is something that tries to come upon all of us. The devil can do all kinds of things, but what he seems to be most successful at is persuading us to give up. That the direct attack is not what makes us faint. In fact, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when you see Israel under attack, Israel rarely faced an all-out attack from the enemy. What they often faced was raids, small attacks every day, every week, a little bit here, a little bit there, a series of lower-level attacks, not designed to defeat in one battle, but designed to wear down the resolve of the people. That was a tactic then, raids, not war, raids. Folks talk about, I'm fighting a spiritual warfare. Don't worry about that warfare. Just handle the raid that show up today. Don't worry about the war, amen? The war is already won, actually. It's the skirmishes we have to deal with. The war, the battle, the big battle, it's been won. Jesus Christ won the battle. Amen. What we're doing is standing in faith, standing in being consistent, holding to God's promises, and dealing with the raids. The Bible says, talking about the fiery darts of the enemy. Paul said, we aren't unaware of the devil's devices, schemes, and strategies. And raids is a strategy. Versus, listen, if the devil mounted all his forces and you were aware of it, and, you know, that wasn't even possible for him to, but if you were aware of some major attack, you'd have all your friends praying for you, preparing to pray, and you'd be fasting in prayer. You sense the attack coming, and you're ready for the battle. Doesn't happen like that. It's the little stuff that happens. Somebody on the job walk up on you, come up on you, say something crazy to you, you know, try to disturb your peace. Somebody, just something at a lower level that just aggravates a little bit, but that added day by day is like the old saying, the death of 1,000 pinpricks. You know, one little prick of a pin needle won't hurt you. It hurt, but 1,000 of those, that's a different story. So we are a persistent people. Say, I am persistent. Because Jesus, say, because Jesus persisted for me. All right, three ways in which we persist. We persist in prayer, we persist in personal power, and we persist in our purpose. Say, prayer, personal power, purpose. Now, prayer is communication with God, simply put. And also, prayer is empowerment for people, empowerment for us who are praying, for those for whom we pray. Prayer is also allows us, affords us influence over circumstances. So prayer is a very powerful, the most powerful thing we do, most important thing we do is pray, because we talk to God, we hear from God, he hears from us, we can sort things out, we get the plan, we get the insight from God, we get the reconnaissance from God. Amen? And do a recon, you know, in military operations, go out and see what's over there. Before we're going to, you know, fight some battle or do some operation, let's go see what's over there. Well, God knows what's over there. Talk to him. He'll tell you. Save you a whole lot of headaches. Amen, somebody? Amen. You ever messed around trying to get something working or put something together and not really going by the instructions fully, and, you know, doing it all by yourself, and the thing is all done, but there's parts left over? I mean, what happened is, like, sometimes we, you know, for a lack of prayer, we don't have the instructions. We're just jumping off doing things, half-cocked, we often say. But yet, through prayer, we can get the reconnaissance, we'll get the insight, we're getting the information we need to operate more fruitfully. And also by prayer, we help empower. Empower, again, means to give to other people what they lack, to give them what they need, to help them do what they could not do before. So we're empowered by prayer, and our prayers empower others. Now, also influence over circumstances. You know, prayer changes things, the old saying is. Now, we don't have direct authority over everything. I cannot change everything. But prayer can influence circumstances and outright change things. I can't say what, it depends on what God wants to do sometime, but for a lack of prayer, we become overwhelmed by circumstances. That we know. I can't say prayer does every single thing I want done, but prayer does what God wants done. But a lack of prayer will leave me without my recon. It'll leave me without empowerment. I can't empower the people fully without prayer. And I will not have influence over my circumstances. And then now this second way in which we persist is through personal power. Now, this is a term that comes up with motivational speakers, use it different ways. But I think personal power is your ability to influence or change an outcome. That's your personal power. Some say, well, it's power over people. I don't believe in that, okay? I believe in power over ourselves, power to take decisions to do what I should be doing. Because, listen, y'all, if I don't do what I should do, I don't have enough power to do what God wants me to do. If I lack the power, the personal power, to do what I'm supposed to do, how can God use me? How can God give me instruction? How can I be obedient to God if I can't even use my own power to take care of my own business? Amen? So that's very important. So personal power requires persistence. Some things are easy in life. Some things are hard. Some things require a lot of attention. Sometimes it's hour after hour, day after day. Some things are a process of time. You have to work on it a little bit here and there until you get it all done. Like going to school. School's a good example. Going to school, learning something, finishing some course of study, that takes a lot of persistence. So it's 122 hours to get a bachelor's degree, and you're in a class to get the first 3 hours. You just started. You just showed up. I mean, I did that. I went back to school at 42. I'm like, yeah, I had all these previous hours. I've been out of school so long, most of them wouldn't apply. It wouldn't even carry over. I had to start over. Almost. A few hours carried. Here I am in class, 40-year-old man with 18-year-old children. Course 101. And 102. All that, you know. It wasn't easy either, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't. And the thing was, it wasn't like, put like this. It wasn't as if it was overwhelming to me, because the work, it was challenging, but my mindset was different. When I dropped out of school 20 years earlier, I had a bad mindset. I wasn't given to persistence, but by 40, 42, I was ready to persist, and I did it, you know. All right, got in there and got it done. Professor talking about, we got a paper today due on next week. It's going to be 6 pages. Kids like, 6 pages? I'm like, 6 pages all you want? Six? I write 6 pages like every day. So persistence in personal power. And third is persistence in purpose. We must persist in our purpose. Say persist. In our purpose, which is fulfilling your assignments. Things that God wants you to do, what you've been assigned to do, not just in terms of your work, your family, your marriage, your ministry, your personal projects, whatever God has for you. These are your assignments. This is your purpose. And purpose requires persistence. Again, do not become weary in doing good, for in proper time, in due season, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Say, I won't give up. Hallelujah. Say, I won't give up. Luke chapter 11. All right, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. So he said, when you pray, say. Well, we don't just say the words, read them out loud only from verses, 2 through 4. But really, it means the sense of his pray according to this pattern. Pray in this manner. Now, I won't teach this all here now, but this is a very simple and powerful way to pray. If you wonder, how should I pray? Pray this way. He said, first of all, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's worship. Prayer begins with worshiping God. Lord, thank you. I praise you. I thank you. Give God praise. Before you ask for anything, just thank God for who he is. He's your Father. He's your shepherd. says, your kingdom come. This part of the prayer is addressing God's will. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. It is you want that you're asking God to bring into your life the attributes, the blessings of his kingdom. What God has, you want in your life. He has it. Ask him for it. And again, we often say this, that asking is the protocol of the kingdom. Yeah, God knows what you need. But the protocol is we must do what? Ask. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth. Not just in the earth realm, but in me, this earthen vessel. Yeah, in my in my earth place where I live, where I work, but also in this earthen vessel. Your will be done in earth as it is in me. He says, verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. This is supplication. This is specific request for what you need. For example, you should know how much money you need every month to live on. You should know how much it takes to pay all your bills, you know, get groceries and things you want to do and some enjoyment as well. So how much bread do you need? How much provision do you need? Amen? Now, we every year I ask Little Endowment for some money for a media camp. There's a process for that. And I don't just throw a figure out there. I think I'll ask for $50,000. I want $50,000. Now, they would know that based on what? I just kind of want that. You won't get $50,000. I mean, they'll look at you like, are you crazy? You think we're crazy? In other words, if you can't show you've thought this through, why would they pay attention to somebody who's not paying attention to what they're doing? So we asked them for $13,000. They gave us $5,500. I received it, you know, because I showed them in the budget that the camp fees will account for everything else. The thing is, people give you money, won't give you everything you need. That's a tip for you, by the way. You got to ask some skin in the game. You got to put something in the game, too. You can't ask folk to fund everything you're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to put anything in there. You go out to buy a house, you're going to find out they don't loan you the whole amount for the house. They loan you now it's what, half now? It used to be 80%. I don't know what it is now. 80% still? I don't know what it is. 80%, okay. What's the down payment? What's a down payment? Go back to the apartment. Stay over there a while till you figure out what a down payment is and what your savings looking like. Listen, y'all, all I'm saying is the prayer is, Lord, give us day by day our daily bread. Be specific. Know what you're asking for. Now, God loves you. He won't put you out for being, you know, unaware. But you'll have more success in prayer if you know what you're praying for. And you're praying specifically for what you need. And it makes sense. That's right. Amen, somebody? I'm believing God for a Mercedes-Benz. Now, no one really does that, but, you know, really. But not many people nowadays buy that. You know what a Mercedes-Benz costs? No, not really. I just like it. I like it. I liked it when I saw it, you know. Well, you know, they started at $80,000. Well, they start lower than that, you know. The one you want is $80,000. But guess what happens? When it's time for oil change, you can't go to Jiffy Lube with a Mercedes-Benz. You got to go back to them. The oil change is $300. Something like that. Then the tires get low. I mean, tires get a little bald, you know. You know what I'm saying? You need tires. You know, what those cost? My point is obvious. Let's just take everything seriously, except ourselves, amen? And let's go to God. Let's persist in prayer on things that we know God is doing and wants to do for us. And get your mind around what you really need so you can feel faith for what you're asking God for. I don't have faith to ask those folk for $50,000. Now, this idea, I asked them one time for $25,000. For a special project grant, and we got it. 3 years ago, $25,000 we got 3 years ago to buy all new computers. And the story I think you know. Went to the Apple store, or called ahead, set it up. We bought, I think, 12 iMacs and 3 iPads all at one time. And the funny part, and the best part was, put all the Macs on a cart, and we rolled them out the store. And all the folks in the store, they cried like the Red Sea parted. Because, see, the store's always busy, you know. So we had the big old cart full of Macs and iPads. It all just, we rolled out. I wrote a check for several thousands of dollars, you know. And from that day to now, when I go in there, I get attention every time I go in there. Hey, Mr. Hudson, you know. I was nobody before I bought all the Macs. My point is, with the camp, with all things we do, it's a lot of work goes into planning things. We don't do anything flippantly. And the reason we always succeed is because we are persistent, not just in asking, but persistent in preparing to ask. Sometime, how you prepare to pray is as important as the prayer itself. Amen? All right, so prayer, personal power, purpose. So the prayer goes on and says, verse 4, Luke 11, and forgive us our sins. The other gospel says debts, so I say both. Forgive us our sins and debts, for we also forgive those who are indebted to us. That's important, forgiveness. Say forgiveness. Forgive. We must learn to forgive. We must be a forgiving people. Forgive people. Forgive, forgive, forgive. You have a forgiving heart because you know what? You'll need forgiveness. When you offer forgiveness, I promise you, you'll need some mercy and forgiveness too. You'll make a mistake, and you'll want people to cut some slack where you're concerned. So, well, cut other folks some slack then. He says, and don't lead us into temptation. Now, we know God does not tempt us, but he helps us not to be led that way. Because, listen, y'all, the world is full of traps laid for us by the devil, by our own desires. And so the prayer every day is, Lord, don't let me be led into temptation. He says, but deliver me from the evil one. That's the proper rendering. From the evil one. From, well, Satan. The devil's devices. So when you pray this way, because your prayer is about empowerment for yourself, for others, because your prayers influence circumstance, because your prayers enhance your personal power to do what you should do, because your prayers are about fulfilling your assignments and purpose in life, then this prayer, this simple model prayer, Jesus said pray, you pray this way every day, you'll see progress in your life. It's one model of prayer. Not the only one, but a really good model for prayer. Now, prayer ends out, a different gospel ends by saying, for yours is the kingdom and the honor and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The prayer begins in worship. It ends in worship. Say begins in worship. Ends in worship. All right. Now, let's go to verse 5. Again, talking about persistence, the empowerment of persistence. You're empowered by being persistent. So verse 5 says, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. He will answer him from within. The door is closed, right? You fast like through the door. I need some bread from my friend. And your friend says, don't trouble me. The door is shut. My children are in bed with me. I cannot rise to give to you. But I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him many as he needs. Now listen, y'all, this is kind of a real story because, you know good and well, if one of you go to somebody's house at midnight asking for something, you're like, I ain't getting out of bed. What do you want? Now, maybe you're half asleep. You know, who is at the door? Who's talking? But a friend will jokingly say, I don't think so. You know, come on. Get out of here, man. What are you talking about? But then because you're going to stand there and ask, That friend just, you know, complain and grump and be all grumpy, get about the bed and go get you whatever you want. That friend might fuss a little bit, keep you honest, you know what I'm saying? But that friend is going to follow through and do what needs to be done. Now, persistence here, to me, reflects a relationship. Because everything in life that you request, even of people who want to help you, you know, ought to help you, there's still a protocol that requires relationship and persistence in relationship. There's also the factor that how genuine is somebody who's requesting? For example, we're in the process now of hiring for Media Camp, hiring instructors for Media Camp. I got the resumes coming in left and right. And what I normally do is I'll respond to them right away, one way or another. I just leave it there. Because I was, okay, what are you going to do next? I responded to it. Normally I give them an instruction. My instruction normally is go to the website and look at the work we've been doing and who we're working with. You know what I'm saying about who we're working with? Just so you understand, this is urban situation over here. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want you to find out later you didn't know we're dealing with, you know, urban kids. Because some people got a problem with that. They're just afraid. I mean, white and black folks, just afraid. And think we're in the hood, so go Google us. It's not hood. We're urban. It's hood to some people. It's not hood to me, okay? Nothing's hood to me, actually, okay? Now watch this, though. But so then when I make them kind of, I give them an assignment, something simple, and see who gets back with me. A lot of folk who go to the website never come back again. They never come back and pursue the opportunity for a job. They don't want it. They don't want to be. I can't say it's racial. I don't know what it is. But if you don't want it, I don't want you to want it. But then I hired one young man who's going to come in and same deal. I just had him go to the website. He called. He got back. I said, okay, great. You saw the website? Yeah, I saw it. You saw who we're working with? Yep. You saw what we're doing? Yep. You saw samples of our work? Yep. Well, send me samples of your work. Let me see what you can do. Because the fact is, sometimes I got folks applying for the job, and my kids are better than them. We're not low level. We're high level. These are high level kids. We've trained them, and kids come back year by year, and they're getting better at it. You can't come in thinking that they're just kids. Yeah, they're kids, but they go to college from this program doing college level work when they leave us. So you can't come in thinking that they're just kids. No, they're actually young folk, young men and women who are, we've trained to be skillful. Now, here's the point. So I'm looking for persistence. I'm looking for persistence from the people who want to work for me. And when I see it, I'm encouraged by it. And so that, this is what the spirit of this text is, that this friend came to the door. Initially, the request was, go away, I'm in the bed, I can't get up right now. But because of the persistence of relationship, he got up, he'll give him whatever he wants. Amen? Persistence, next slide here. Relationship empowers persistence. And asking is the protocol for receiving. Maybe next two or three slides down. Relationship empowers persistence. Say that. Relationship. Empowers persistence. Asking is the protocol for receiving. Amen. Yeah. So then, you're empowered by your persistence. Sometimes it's kind of humbling to have to ask and have to wait, have to come back around a second time. Because folk need to know, are you the real deal? Are you the real deal? You know, when Gideon had the army, well, when he faced a challenge, first of all, God gave him a challenge, had all these people, he thought, and God said, that's too many people. Too many people. And so one of the challenges to call out the people who weren't ready for the challenge was to ask him, do you want to go? If you don't want to go home. Folks say, I'm out of here. All right, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Do you want to go? Even Jesus said to disciples, you know, you want to leave? You know, he talked his heart, he taught a message one time so hard, folks said, that's crazy. And he left. He said to the disciples, you want to leave too? They're like, hey, Lord, where can we go? So then persistence empowers relationship and vice versa. And asking is the protocol for, now go back to Luke 11 and 9. Go back there now. So it says this. So I say to you, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. To him that knocks, it shall be opened. Say, ask, seek, knock. Verse 11. For if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks you for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, can give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So then, so your friends and people are slow about things, but how much more will God bless you? Because God is willing and predisposed to help you. So then, listen, it doesn't make any sense for us not to have to ask, to have persistence in asking, because God, you know, there's still the protocol. Even though God is willing and God is able, he's predisposed to help you, it's all lined up there for you, you have to ask. Lilly Endowment is giving away lots of money every summer to these summer programs like ours, but nobody gets anything without asking. And the asking has a process behind it, you know. And, of course, the process, to me, I mean, it's a tedious process because it's just hard enough to keep folks away who aren't really serious about the opportunity. Now, watch this. So asking, seeking, and knocking is the sequence and protocol for the empowerment of persistence. Now, get a hold of this. Say asking, seeking, and knocking is the sequence and protocol for the empowerment of persistence. Now, protocol just means the way you do something. The protocol, for example, for getting married is you have to first be in love and be, you know, married right for each other. Then you get a license, then you talk to the preacher, you get some counseling, you know, and you get married. Plan your life, plan your wedding, you know. You don't just go, we're in love, we're going to get married tomorrow. You can do it. I wouldn't recommend it. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't recommend that. So there's protocol. Say protocol. Protocol. So the protocol of God's purpose for us is asking, seeking, knocking. Now watch this. To ask, he says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it shall be open to you. Now this is to me is an important process as well, a certain sequence and steps of maturity. So asking and receiving is an immature stage. So children ask for stuff. They ask for shoes. They ask for the hat. They ask for whatever, you know, and we give it to them. Because they're children. They can't do much for themselves, so they ask, we comply as parents. But we're also training them. Next level is seek and you shall find. So at some point, child says, ask, you ask, the child asks you, you're like, well, go get it yourself. Go get it. You want that? Go get that. It happens when we find out, you know, with kids become teenagers and learn how to drive, and at first they don't want to drive. Well, no, at first they want to drive. Driving, looking for a chance to drive. Go get something for you and drive your car. And then they drive a little bit, and now it's a chore. They don't want to drive for you. They want to drive for themselves now, you know. But that's cool. Then at some point, they want their own car. That's a big decision point right there. Because you want a car. Do you have a job? No. Well, you can't have no car. Who's paying for all that gas? Who's paying for that insurance? At least part of it. You know what I'm saying? It's part of it. So the asking kind of breaks down. See, at a certain level, we expect you to begin seeking and finding. In schools, at high school, you ask for stuff. In college, you have to seek everything. You know, sometimes you give an assignment, and in fact, today I was on. Last night I was in a forum talking about aviation, about drones and photography. And I posted something, and the guy said, "How'd you do that?" I said, "Go look for it in YouTube. You go look for it. I'm not telling you how. You plow your own field." That's what I'm thinking. I learned that from a friend of mine. I asked him how to do something. He said, "Man, Brian, plow your own field." You know, he was right. When you plow your field, you learn a lot more. So at some point, you go from asking and receiving to seeking and finding. But the next level, though, so asking is the immature stage. You have no power, you have no authority, and there's uncertainty going on in your life. But again, persistence is a part of this too. So you persist, and you go from that stage to seek, and you shall find. That's the growing stage. Asking, immature stage. Seeking, growing stage. Attributes, developing power, personal power, authority, growing confidence. You're plowing your field, figuring things out, and learning a lot, and being more appreciative at the same time. Now, let me show you a video right quick. A video I'm going to show you. This is from a basketball game you may have heard about, women's basketball game, in which the UConn Huskies were defeated by Mississippi State. Okay? But the context, though, is very important, a great story. Here's the backstory. The backstory is this. That UConn has won 111 basketball games in a row. They won 111 games in a row. And most of those wins, they beat the brakes off people. And listen, the team that finally beat them, listen to this now, it's going to blow your mind. Mississippi State, the last time Mississippi State saw UConn, UConn beat them by 60 points. 60 points last season. Beat them by 60 points. Now, two things happen in that scenario. Either you're going to lose your mind and never go back up in there again. I don't want to see them. Don't put them on the schedule no more. Don't schedule them, first of all. Or you think, you know what? That won't happen again. I don't think so. You won't embarrass me like that, not this time. Now, that's the backstory. And the other part of it is, you're going to see this last second shot by this young lady, Morgan Williams. And her backstory is they got to that game against UConn because in the previous game to get to the Final Four, she scored 47 points to get to that Final Four game against UConn. And listen, and that game she scored 47 points was the anniversary of her father's death. Go ahead, lost her daddy year before that, which meant they got beat by 60 points in the same year her father died. But there's more. Wait, there's more. She's 5'5". She's the smallest woman on the basketball court. Now watch the clip. They got some context. Watch the clip. Okay. All right.
5 to get off a shot. William on the drive. Semifinal. Vic Schaefer's Mississippi State Bulldogs have shocked the world. They have defeated the UConn Huskies. Many believe that was impossible. It took overtime at the buzzer by the littlest player in the building.
Keeping the smarter plays. It's been 111 games since we've been able to say that about an opponent of the UConn Huskies. Congratulations to Mississippi State.
Basketball, here's how it ended. 5'5 junior Morgan William in overtime at the buzzer. A shocker. UConn undefeated no more. Mississippi State is on to the championship against South Carolina.
So it's a picture of the persistence of that basketball team. Of after a humiliating defeat. Now, to be fair, the coach of UConn, he said to his team, he says, the way you feel now, we've made other teams feel like that. He actually said, this is good for y'all. Because the way we, he said, 111, it's been glorious, but it's not realistic. He says, not the real world. Okay. Not losing is not the real world. It says, so as bad as you feel now, that will give you perspective to come back and be a better basketball team. So the whole picture is, you know, sports offers us these stories. And then we come to our last point here of knock and the door should be opened. I believe this is what we see depicted in this basketball team, Mississippi State, how that they, you know, as young ladies have come to these stages of asking and being given and seeking and finding and experiencing a tremendous setback in a defeat, but then resolving to come back and not come back with the wrong attitude, not come back with a defeatist attitude, not coming back with arrogance, coming back with determination. And they spoke about this in postgame, how all of them to a person talked about being beaten by 60 points. And that was not going to happen again. They may not win the game, but it won't be a beat now, you know. And so this young lady, Morgan William, and a whole team, they show the mature stage. Knock, it shall be open. Full power, authority, full confidence, and faith. That when God's finished working on us, when he wants to work on us, these encounters in life with God's grace give us the resolve to persist. Not persist just in weary agony and just, you know, because I have to. No, it's a victorious persisting. It's a victorious journey, realizing that you're empowered by the grace of God. Don't be weary in well-doing. So keep doing well. Because the enemy of being weary is to quit, is to feel too tired to continue. But when you continue in doing good, he said, at the proper time, you will reap a harvest. You will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Amen, church?